Shall we turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29? Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. And we will read together. Let's begin. Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known, and he said, "John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." Others said, "It is Elijah," and others said, "It is the prophet, or like one of the prophets." But when Herod heard, he said, "This is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead." For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John, and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." He also swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give to you up to half of my kingdom." So he went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And he said, "The head of John the Baptist." Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. That is the word of God. Covenant unfaithfulness kills. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Herod was a Jew who had received God's promise as a child when he was circumcised. But instead of claiming the promise of salvation that God made at his circumcision, Herod rejected God's promise and chose to live as a heathen. As a result of the rejection of the covenant promise, he robbed himself and his family of the covenant blessings, and he murdered a faithful preacher of God's word, the greatest prophet to have ever lived. You see, covenant unfaithfulness kills. And this is what you will hear about today. Covenant unfaithfulness kills. Our headings for today are: Herod did not know the covenant keeper. Herod therefore corrupted his covenant family. And Herod therefore killed his covenant brother. Our goals are that you will know your covenant keeper well and claim his promises so you and your family can serve him well. First, Herod did not know the covenant keeper. Now, Herod was a Jew surnamed Antipas. The name Herod means heroic, but he wasn't. Herod Antipas, his father was named Herod the Great. What do we know about Herod the Great? He was the one who murdered many boys and tried to kill Jesus when he was an infant. Herod Antipas was installed as king, or really governor, over Galilee, which was only one-third or one-fourth of the country by the Romans. Why did that happen? Well, Herod the Great divided the leadership before his death because he was angry at a couple of sons who tried to kill him, poison him. It's an interesting way for, we call that payback for what he was trying to do. He tried to kill the Lord Jesus, and then his own sons tried to kill him. Now, because Herod Antipas, the Herod we are talking about today, only had one quarter of the land, he focused his life's work on expanding his dominion. And he didn't care who stepped in the way. His lust for expansion of his kingdom controlled him. Now, after hearing reports of Jesus' powerful words and the works, the miracles that confirmed his words, Herod thought that John the Baptist, whom he had murdered, was really reincarnated. Many others did not recognize who Jesus was either. Some said that Jesus was a prophet, or that Jesus was like a prophet, and even some of Jesus' own relatives did not know who he really was. But Herod's thinking that Jesus was actually John the Baptist reincarnated made no sense. After all, Jesus and John the Baptist were only a few months apart. So how could one who was dead come back as someone who was already living? It made no sense. But that's what happens sometimes when you get paranoid about things. But worse than not recognizing Jesus' person, Herod failed to recognize Jesus' work. Even though the prophets spoke about him, if you read the Old Testament, and that's why we look so much at those prophets, Jesus is described as being the covenant keeper for the world, and his righteousness will be counted as the righteousness of those who believed in him. The prophets also teach us that Jesus would be the covenant keeper of the world, and his atoning sacrifice would be counted as those who believed in him. His life of obedience and his great suffering, his atoning sacrifice, his death, would be counted as those who believed in him. But Herod was a covenant child, and yet he never knew the covenant keeper. He never heard the message of Jesus Christ. And you see the angle we have before us today, the warning that comes to Jian and Sue, and for all of us with children. It is our obligation there to make sure that they understand the covenant. But what would you expect? Why is it that Herod Antipas did not know about these things? Look at what his father was. He was focused on killing children rather than teaching children. What lessons can we learn then from this first point? The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. Read that in Hebrews 9. Therefore, there is no reincarnation. Hindus might believe this, but the true and living God does not allow this. You only have one time to make yourself right with God, one time to be adopted as his child, and it's in this life. And a life that may be a few years or 100 years, but it's only this life. Second, intimately knowing Christ's person and work will give life to your children, life to your church, life to your country. This is what will work wonders. Knowing Jesus personally, knowing what he did in his life, knowing what he did in his death. And when you receive that into your heart by faith, you will have life. It is true, children can be rebellious, and you will find that in little Theodore. Sweet as he may be now, you will see his rebellion, especially against the gospel. But once the message of salvation sinks in, it will remain in his heart and come out at the right time. That is the promise of God. But don't fail to deliver that message to him. On the contrary, see what ignorance of Christ's person and work can do. Ignorance caused by parents and by preachers brings eternal death and destruction to children, to church, and to country. Why are we struggling in Canada? Preachers and parents who have failed to live up to the covenant responsibilities before God. Why is it the church is on the decline? It's because parents and preachers have failed to live up to their covenant responsibilities before God. Well, look at what happens now. We look in Herod's life. Point number two. Herod therefore corrupted his covenant family. He didn't know Jesus, so he corrupted his family. Earlier, Herod wrongfully imprisoned John the Baptist because John had rightfully rebuked him for committing adultery and incest and improperly divorcing his wife and remarrying another woman. These were heinous sins, and John, as a covenant brother and a representative of the church, had to speak. It didn't matter how Herod might have been nice to John, or how much money he could have given to John. John stood up and rebuked him for what he was doing. He stood up like Elijah stood up to Ahab. And there are a lot of similarities here between Elijah and John the Baptist. That's why he was often called Elijah. Remember Ahab and his wife, how they turned against Elijah. How they murdered Naboth and took away his land. And it was Elijah who had to go to them and take them to task. And so John, because he spoke the truth, became the enemy of Herod. And that's the reality. Look in the sermon notes if you have it available. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 20 together. So Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" And he answered, "I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord." You notice the boldness there? He didn't say, "Well, look, I could have contacts with the king. I could have access, maybe some protection, maybe some money." He looked at him straight in the face and held him, called him to task. And what are the details of Herod Antipas's corruption of the covenant family? The Bible says Herod stole his half-brother Philip's wife, Herodias. And then he divorced his own wife that he had. He then married Herodias, who was both his and Philip's niece. Now, here the story gets even worse. So this was adultery, but this was also incest to marry. He and his brother married his niece. But what could one expect from one who abandoned truth? He continued in the tradition of his father, whom we don't have time to get into, about his lifestyle. Herod then ignored God's directions of getting a godly wife, and so he ended up in trouble. His incestuous, adulterous wife, Herodias, then tried to get Herod to kill John for speaking out against them. Of course, initially he refused. In fact, Herod protected John. If you like the old King James Version, this is one reason where you have to be careful with it, because it used the word that he observed John. I'm not sure why that translation was used. This word really means to protect. Herod listened to many things that John said, visited him in prison, and he indeed was afraid of John. But his heart was hardened and he kept John in prison. Why? A Bible commentator said, by frivolity, lust, and neglect, Herod had killed the germ of a better life. What was inside of him was dead because his was a lust is a lust for power, lust for expansion of his kingdom, lust for his lifestyle, and that blinded him. He knew it was wrong, but he silenced that desire so he could do what he wanted and get what he wanted. But Herodias kept planning to kill John, just as Jezebel. We say in today's language, she had it in for him. And Herodias' lust was to be governess, not just of one quarter of the country, but of the whole country. And she was ready to fight and remove whatever stood in the way. Herod suppressed his conscience because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then he showed that as he threw a big party to promote himself. And when he was doing that, he then called, callously we should say, his stepdaughter to dance a provocative dance in front of all the people, and she obliged. What a father. What a father. This young girl's name was Salome, and she's associated with exotic and erotic dances. And this is from Josephus, a first century historian. The women who did this dance were often half naked, and respectful women would never do this kind of dancing. But she was not well trained. Her father was an egomaniac, not a covenant keeper. Her father did not care for her, but for himself. So what lessons then can we learn from the destruction or the corruption that this man brought upon his family? First of all, don't be afraid to speak the truth even when it hurts. Just like John stood up to Herod. Speaking the truth is a form of love. It is better that sinners persecute ministers now for being faithful than curse ministers eternally for being unfaithful. It is better that your children fight you now for being faithful than curse you eternally for being unfaithful to the truth. You know, it's not nice when children argue and fight you down. But it's going to be a whole lot worse when for eternity they're sentenced to hell for them to say what kind of father I had or mother who chose their own protection, their own hurt feelings, and now I'm in hell for eternity. John stood up. He stood up boldly. He did what was right. And then, of course, he committed himself to God like Esther did. If I perish, I perish. Second, eager listening and partial obedience to the gospel are not enough. They won't please God. You need to know the Lord personally and trust him, and only then will you care to obey the word. It's got to be a heart change, not some ritual obedience. I'm going to try to do the best I can. I'll give money to the church. I'll go once in a while. That's not enough. It's that personal relationship you have with Jesus Christ. You see, Herod was there meeting with John in prison, listening to him. But that was not enough. Third, selfishness is the root of all sin. If you lust for power, you will crush others. If your ego is bruised by complaints, you will hurt the one who speaks against you. But only a regenerated soul that dies to himself will respond differently. Herod's ego was bruised. Herodias' ego was bruised. And what was their response? Let's put him in prison. Hopefully we can kill him. But that was selfishness. Fourth, it is a recipe for disaster to marry someone who does not truly trust in Christ. Should I repeat that? It's a recipe for disaster to marry someone who does not truly trust Christ. Not someone who says they're a Christian or somebody who goes to church. I said someone who trusts in Christ. you can expect that that person will lead you away from God, as you have two different loyalties. You see, Herod was not the worst, but he married the worst, and he became the worst. Don't expect a scorpion to be a pet. That's like the bird sitting on snake's eggs. You know, the bird will hatch the eggs, and then the snake will eat the bird. That's what happens if you marry someone who does not truly trust in Jesus Christ. So marry someone who trusts the Lord, who will encourage you to walk in the way of truth. And then fifth, make holy demands on your children. Education, sports, and arts are good, but they should never interfere with your children's spiritual development. To put these things above the spiritual welfare of your children is no different from having your daughter dance half naked in front of you and your drunken friends. Both things will lead to hell. I know this might sound strong, but there's no difference. If you put other things in the heart of your child that's more important than serving the risen Savior, it's like signing the death warrant for your child and participating in your child's execution. You think that was bad, that the family was corrupted. Look now at the third point. Herod therefore killed his covenant brother. Herod therefore killed his covenant brother. Not only was the family corrupted, he went farther. Being gratified with the erotic dance of his stepdaughter, he asked her to name the gift she wanted. A really foolish offer to a child, a young woman. Herod's passion and probably his drunkenness controlled him. And this was an offer for which his conscience would torture him eternally. Herod could give away half his kingdom, but he could not get rid of that guilty conscience for what he did to that young girl. And Herod swore as well. He swore to God, adding weight to his promise that he would give up to half of his kingdom to Salome. Herod did this to show off in front of his friends. He should not have sworn in insignificant matters. We are only to swear when there are weighty matters: marriage, ordination, membership in the church, in court. But he swore, adding weight to what he had promised. And then the wickedness of Herodias came on display when her daughter asked her for advice about what she should ask for. And Herodias told Salome to ask for John the Baptist's head on a food serving tray, as if to say she wanted to have him for dinner. That's why you put something on a food tray. What kind of woman would endanger her daughter's spiritual life for her own personal power and pleasure? She willfully sentenced her daughter to eternal shame. For 2,000 years, millions, billions of people have learned of the wickedness and the foolishness of this young child being led into sin by her mother. And look at the way Herodias worked against her own husband. His self-interest was pushed aside for her own. For people would have hated John the Baptist, hated Herod for killing John the Baptist, whom they loved. And then look at the legacy that Salome left for her mother. She could have saved her mother the shame and said to her, "No, Mom, may not ask for something that way. That's sin." But she was well trained in self-advancement, not Christ's kingdom, and the advancement of Christ's kingdom. Like father, like mother, like daughter. And when she went to her father to ask for John the Baptist's head, she said, I want it at once. Again, the Old King James is wrong when it says she wanted it by and by. In fact, she wanted it right away. Her mother did not want Herod to change his mind. She wanted him dead. And even though he was raised in the covenant and knew God's law, Herod suppressed his conscience and killed John. Herod chose pomp and power and reputation rather than repent of his sin. He was more concerned what people would think of him. Yes, he was afraid of John, but he was more afraid of losing his reputation. He was afraid of God, but he was more afraid of losing his position. So he sent an executioner to kill John and bring his head on an eating tray to give Salome, who gave it to her mother. And then John's disciples came and took the rest of his body and put it in a tomb. What lessons can we learn to see the natural outcome? How covenant unfaithfulness indeed not only corrupts the family, but kills. First, only the work of Jesus renewing the heart will remove a guilty conscience. You see, what Herod was doing was getting his people and getting drunk. And you sort of go away from reality. But alcohol and drugs do not have the power to remove guilt. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could remove sin. Second, being baptized and being in a covenant family will not save. Theodore, will not save you. Faith, which is evidenced by obedience, alone saves. That means it is your duty, Jean, Sue, and all of you with children, to teach the word of God through which that faith comes. Baptism is a beautiful promise of God, but you have to claim that promise, and you have to fulfill your responsibility as covenant keepers to teach that child, so that child will early embrace the faith, even as we have seen in the last week of two more covenant children being raised and taught and then embracing that truth. And third, it is common to commit sin, in this case murder, to cover up a sin, which was making rash oaths in Herod's case. But if you sin, repent, even if the sin is making a sinful oath. Don't cover up a sin. Don't cover up adultery with abortions. Don't cover up stealing with lying. This is an important one for children. Sometimes if they steal, instead of accepting they've done something wrong, they then lie and make the sin worse. That's what Herod did. He made a faulty promise, and instead of begging God to forgive him, what did he do? He murdered to cover up that rash oath that he made. So be careful not to commit a sin in order to cover up another sin. Well, let's conclude. Herod knew the law, he knew of man's guilt, and he knew of man's condemnation, but he never personally knew the one who would come to keep the law for him, bear his guilt, and remove his condemnation. That's Jesus Christ. So instead he lived for himself to satisfy his lust. He committed adultery and incest. He improperly divorced his wife. He indulged his wicked daughter. He did not teach his wife or daughter. He falsely imprisoned John and eventually cut off John's head to save personal shame. What a mess of a life for someone who knew better. Later, he and his wife would appeal to Emperor Caligula. Remember, I said he wanted to expand his rule from one quarter to the whole country. But Caligula was a worse man. And instead, Herod and his family were dumped to the end of the kingdom in a backward place back then called Gaul, which is part of France. Historians record that Salome's head was cut off when she fell through the ice one winter. Literally, she herself was decapitated. She wanted John's head, but she gave up hers for it. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you know Jesus. He is your creator. He is your redeemer, your recreator, who paid all your debts. He's your advocate before his Father for you. Your Jesus. You know him. Now live for him. Teach your wife. Raise godly children. Support the expansion of Jesus' kingdom. Speak of Jesus to the world. You are in this world to serve your risen Savior. As a result of serving Jesus, true joy will come to your heart. Joy is a result, not the goal in your life. Finally, have you met the one who kept the law in the place of sinners and took their guilt so their condemnation is removed? Have you met him? His name is Jesus. Pray today and ask him to give you what he earned and take away your guilt and shame. Amen. Let us pray. Father, your words are so striking to our hearts. And what a reminder today we have from you that we are to really know you so we don't fall into the sin of Herod, who was raised in the covenant community but had no love for Jesus because he did not have faith in him. Help us today to be diligent in the task of raising godly seed. Maybe we don't have children directly, but we can help others. We can encourage parents. We can pray for children that they will be raised so that the church can be strong again and Christ's kingdom can expand to the ends of the earth. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.